KISS FM.
Black Duff 92.1.
The River.
The following is a Beaver Radio Network
sports presentation.
2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010.
Celebrating 10 years. Sports in the Round.
Sports in the Round.
Live from the Ground.
Live from the Ground. Round.
The right circle feeds it across. Oh!
Rebound sitting on foot. Puck over.
At home to the five.
Nice pass, Ellison.
Dives down. Touchdown, Bemidji State.
Sports in the Round.
Sports in the Round. Live from the Ground Round.
Celebrating 10 years of weekly sports coverage, live from the Ground Round every Wednesday.
And your hosts, Beaver alumni Brian Bissonette
and Kelly Schultz.
And the voice of the Beavs, Brian Schultz.
Live from the Ground Round.
It's Sports in the Round
on Light Rock 92.1, The River.
Good evening and welcome to Sports in the Round. From the Ground Round, our second to last show of 2010.
It's hard to believe how fast this year has gone.
10th anniversary season's half over already.
Yeah.
Our guests will be joining us in hour number two tonight. A little background. The last show of 2010, we always set aside for the Paul Bunyan International Youth Hockey Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be next Wednesday. So I figured, you know, why did it take me this, the seventh year that we've been here, Kel? Why did it take me this long to do a 2010 BSU year in review show? So that's what we're going to do tonight.
Excellent. Well, you know, of course, BSU students well on their way to holiday break. Finals are over and first semester, so my neighborhood is pretty quiet.
I bet it's quiet.
And sports taking a little bit of a hiatus for the most part as well.
Men's and women's basketball go on the road this weekend. Northern State, U Mary, and then that's it until January.
And the hockey teams are off until after Christmas. They play New Year's weekend. The men. The women have cut off.
Seventh and eighth. Yeah.
Wow, nice
January.
Break.
Well, they have to be back to practice, you know, right after Christmas. But we don't have any games until we travel to St. Cloud that weekend. So.
Kind of a pause in the action.
Mm-hmm.
So that is coming up in hour number two. Brad Folkstead, the Athletic Media Relations Director, and Dax Larson, the assistant, they will join us to talk about everything and everything that is BSU sports. We'll mainly talk about the fall, since we had a recap with them at the end of last spring. So first hour, we will devote to a big Teflon bubble that has gone bye-bye. The Vikings playing an outdoor game for the first time in 20 years.
Ziggy got his wish, I guess, for Christmas, didn't he?
Well, it's not his stadium, and he's got to figure out how to not invite 12,000 people that already had tickets, since the stadium is smaller. And he also has to figure out how to sell beer in the joint.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed,
it's on campus.
NFL fans kind of like their beer at a game.
Yeah, where are they going to tailgate either? Oh boy, that could be trouble. It's so all on campus.
Some things need to be figured out before the Vikings and Bears can play. That and who's going to play quarterback for them?
Well, at least they got started shoveling. I mean, they got that part figured out.
Five straight days of shoveling they are expecting.
Ugh.
That's just wrong.
I'm surprised they haven't asked for volunteers.
They have.
Just fans.
They have.
Oh, have they?
Oh,
are
yeah. They put out the call today.
Well, they figured out how much it was going to cost them. They were originally going to pay everybody $10 an hour. Then they realized how much that was going to cost them. They said, you know, maybe we should just get some volunteers. There are a bunch of rabid Vikings fans around here.
Oh, gosh,
that's what Green Bay does. I've actually cleaned Lambeau Field before after a game.
Huh.
Really?
They call in volunteers, typically churches,
high schools, youth groups.
You know, the Boy Scouts, that kind of a
nonprofit
group.
Wow.
They need to bring in X number of people. And if they don't, well, they'll invite, say, two churches to come. And they'll pay each one, it's like $300, $500, something like that. They'll pay each group.
Hmm.
It's a lot cheaper than paying people to actually come and do
the
work. And that's the only way a lot of people in Green Bay can actually get into the stadium. So they do it that way to clean the place and also to shovel when it snows. So it's not a new concept. We will start. Biss, I have a feeling that our trip to Mankato is going to be a longer story just based on
Madison,
the last night
mean.
That we... Or, yeah.
Madison, you
the,
mean.
The last night that we were there. So, Kel, we will start with you.
Oh, sure. I was just going to take a bite of chili, but that's okay. They do have really awesome chili here at the Ground Round.
I had some last week. It was the first time I tried it. It is very, very good.
Well, and I was going to get some after Matt Bowen had some, and of course he ate the last bowl of it, so I got smart this weekend, or this week.
You had told me that Steve Sertich used the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles line in your post-game interview. At what point did they decide after Saturday's game, or on Saturday, that they were going to stick around after the game and wait another day?
When I pulled up the Minnesota Department of Transportation's website on my computer, and the bus driver's looking over my shoulder going, oh, yeah, we can make it. And I showed Steve, and he's like, we'll have to decide this after the broadcast is done and over. We had a lot of worried parents. I actually got a couple of emails and Facebook messages from a couple parents that were like, please tell Steve and the coaching staff we'd feel better back here at home knowing that our kids were safe. And, you know, and I think that's what it came down to, is just safety. But they had closed Highway 169 because of blowing and drifting snow. And the night before, Friday night, we had gotten a good layer of ice. I mean, I went out to my car Friday after the game to get in, and it was like a sheet of ice had just engulfed the little Kia, and it literally took me, I mean, luckily I had the remote car starter from Syntec Audio here, luckily I had that, because I went back in the lobby and just waited till my car thawed out. And it took a good half an hour to get that thing thought out. But, yeah, after Saturday's game, we're all hanging out in the lobby, and I took one look at my car after Danny Williams' dad, Brian Williams, who former NFL big guy.
How many people can say an NFL player has shoveled out their car for them? This is cool.
This is cool. Marley Wheelhouse's folks were there as well. They drove down from Crookston, nonetheless, stayed the weekend. There were a lot of parents that were there. Lauren Williams, her parents were there as well. But Danny Williams' dad's like, is that your car out there buried in snow? And I'm not kidding. Within a span of, what, 3-4 hours that we were there at that hockey game, I had a 4-foot drift up against my driver's side. I couldn't have even gotten in. So here, Brian Williams and Marley and Erica's dad, they go out and they shovel me out. And because I said, I'm not getting out of there. Brian's like, well, you get in and I'll push. He could have lifted my car out of the snow. So thanks to those guys. That was awesome of them to help me out. But, yeah, he played with the New York Giants up until 2000. So, yeah, a little claim to fame. I got shoveled out this weekend by one of the Giants' former players. I kind of felt a little bit bad on Monday night as I was cheering for my Vikings. But
I think he would understand.
Yeah, he totally does. But, yeah, so it was nonetheless, we got shoveled out. The bus driver had pulled up. The girls, some of them were already on the bus, ready to go, thinking we were either heading home or heading to a hotel. Well, the Mankato Athletic Department had already put up North Dakota an extra night because they were playing the men down there, MSU's men. And so they had postponed their game to Sunday. And turns out they were nice enough to put us up as well. It sounds, at least from what I heard, that was the rumor, as that Mankato's athletic department put the BSU women's hockey team up for the night. And so we stayed at the City Center Hotel, and it wasn't exactly the slumber party we all wanted, you know, to be stuck in Mankato an extra night, but we made the best of it, and the staff just kind of hung out. We had poolside rooms, and I know the parents that were, you know, knowing that their kids were safe and sound. And so, yeah, we got stuck in Mankato an extra night, but it wasn't. It could have been worse. I mean, at least we weren't stuck on the side of the road somewhere in a ditch trying to get shoveled out that way. So we'll take it. And not to mention the fact that we came out of the weekend with 5 out of 6 points, winning in overtime 2-1. And then the Beavers won the shootout on Saturday afternoon. And you know, if you're going to be stuck somewhere, you might as well be stuck on a high note.
Well, I'm just joking here. It would have been interesting to see Surdy's decision had they lost both games on the weekend.
Let's get the heck out of here.
You never know.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Biss and I left on Friday for Madison, which I have determined is too long of a trip for one day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was horrible.
I thought Sunday's travel back was a lot worse. Same place, same route, same everything. It felt a lot longer.
Biss, I heard you're not a very good traveler.
Well, I'm certainly not a very good front seat or back seat driver.
Hey,
although I don't comment on the driving so much for who's
just
driving.
Just the other people.
Just the other people, exactly. But I don't think we could have gotten better roads on the way down there.
No.
I mean, for a winter trip somewhere, it was beautiful.
I was just saying that leaving that early in the morning, going, doing the game, you just sat there while I was setting up, and that's my own fault. I've never let you set up. Those onion rings good, Kel?
How about a little crunch for your broadcast?
Just a long trip.
It was long. Long day.
It's 500 miles.
Really long day.
We, well, let's go in chronological order here. Friday's game gets done. Biss convinces me that I'm not allowed to work on Friday night after the game for some reason. I always have things to do after a game on Friday. So we went to the hotel bar. They're done serving food. I wasn't even that hungry until I started snacking on the mixed nuts and Chex Mix type stuff that they had there. And I said, man, I could kind of use some food. We had asked for where's the closest places that will still have food. And the bartender says, well, the Great Dane is about 2 blocks away and something else is like 2.5 blocks the other direction. And I said, hold on. The Great Dane Brewery is 2 blocks away? She goes, yeah. I said, we're going there, Biss.
Now, for listeners of the show, you may recall Brian talking about this dish at the Great Dane restaurant, and I didn't recall the name of the place, but right when she said it, I could tell that was the place that served the hamburger slash bratwurst slash everything on top of the on a pretzel roll deal that that Brian's been talking about ever since
the women's outdoor.
Whenever
game
we talk,
whenever we talk
about the trip to Madison, where we're going to eat
third pound hamburger patty. Quarter pound bratwurst patty, not a bratwurst link, but a patty. 2 strips of bacon, cheddar cheese, onions, gourmet spicy homemade mustard, all served on a pretzel. How can you go wrong?
I have to admit, I was a bit jealous that you were going to the Great Dane Brewery.
I got to talk to Sue here, and I got to put that thing on the menu.
It
looked very good, but I can't eat that much. Anyway, we get there.
And they're on their late night menu, which does not include that sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So I gave the waitress a little grief.
So instead we had to get wings, which were delicious.
They were fine.
And the best macaroni and cheese, honest to God, I think I've ever eaten in my life.
The best $10
macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni
and cheese should not cost $10.
And it wasn't exactly like a heaping. It wasn't a bad portion, but it wasn't like you would expect if you're paying $10 for macaroni and cheese. I mean,
if it costs $10, it should have chicken in there or something.
And it should be made with like brie cheese or some kind of fancy.
I don't know what it was made
cheese.
Of. That was seriously the best macaroni and cheese I've ever eaten.
Well, it's the Great Dane Brewery. They have their own
beer cheese
vats downstairs, and this was made with one of their porter or one of their stouts.
Mm.
The cheese sauce was.
It was delicious.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Not $10 good.
And Brian was disappointed, of course.
Yeah, I was.
Which only meant
depressed.
That there would be a repeat trip to the same place on Saturday.
Early
exactly.
Got back to the room, heck, 1:45. 1:30, 1:45,
yeah,
somewhere around there.
A little late night, yeah.
I wake up at 7 o'clock Saturday morning.
What
in the world am I up for? I'm like, well, I suppose I could look out the window and see how much snow we have. Huh, we don't have any snow. I wonder if it's raining. There's a guy riding his bicycle in the parking lot. I'm like, it's not raining. We might get home yet today.
It was actually pretty decent almost all day in Madison on Saturday.
Was. Yeah. My roommate was sleeping till 11:30, so I didn't get any work done. And
that was not me.
Till then. Yeah, it wasn't best. So I start getting some work done for the broadcast for Saturday. My sister was planning on coming. Biss, your sister was planning on coming to the game on Saturday. Both of them decided not to.
Because the weather was moving from Mankato over to
you
guys.
Well, my sister lives just outside the Dells, which is 40 miles. It's only 40 miles. By 8:30 Saturday morning, they had 4 inches of snow.
Oh, wow.
Madison didn't have anything.
It was very odd. It was kind of circling.
So,
Oh, no, I saw the radar, and it was just
Western Wisconsin was getting hammered while Madison had nothing going on for quite a long time, and then it looped up finally just before game time. So
once my sister decided, yeah, we're not coming, then Biss and I could go for lunch. Because I had told my sister, we're going to the Great Dane Brewery. I don't even care if it's all the way across town from our hotel. We're going there. Turns out it was two blocks away. So I go and I order this behemoth sandwich on a pretzel roll. I've told this story a couple of times to people, and nobody had any clue what a pretzel roll was.
Oh, it looked good.
Soft pretzel, the big soft pretzels you get at the game. Mm-hmm. Imagine making a hamburger bun out of that.
Yum.
That's what it is, and boy, is it good.
It looked good.
And I devoured it before Biss had one shrimp skewer done.
Yeah, I had shrimp skewers, and I didn't finish but two of them.
Now, that tells me one of two things. Either I'm a pig, or Biss, you eat really slow.
I eat really slow, and I don't eat very much. I
suppose it could be a combination of the two, but needless to say, I need a nap after eating that thing. So back to the hotel room. I took a nap. Biss already had to check out of his room, so he was in our room watching the big chill, the outdoor hockey game.
Oh, wow.
Biss was reading the paper. Again, I was still napping. We leave for the game. It's just starting to snow. And I'm like, man.
How much can it snow?
I haven't talked to my sister yet. Maybe we can make it to my sister's Saturday night. You know, if they didn't continue to get pounded throughout the day. Maybe get to my sister's, see how good the roads are, how bad the roads are. Maybe we can get to, you know, the next town from Wisconsin Dells or whatever. I don't know. I'd just as soon get the heck out of town and at least get part of the way back home. So it's not such a long trip the next day, and who knows what kind of weather. Game gets over. We look out the big glass windows. The Kohl Center is all glass.
Mm-hmm.
And jokingly, I said to Biss, "Biss, we're leaving. I can see across the parking lot."
Oh boy!
Biss didn't like that response.
No.
You're like, no,
there's
we're
probably
not moving.
At least 6 inches, if not more, on the ground
yeah,
already.
Yeah, it was terrible getting across town. Even
yeah, we could barely go 5 miles. It took us 20 minutes to go 5 miles.
We checked into a hotel, which the bar had just closed.
Again.
We have bad luck here. And it's not that we needed beer that bad, but you've been sitting there talking for 3.5 hours.
You're
and I
thirsty.
Don't think it was the best neighborhood in Madison
not
either.
Not particularly, no. So we asked the lady, where's the nearest bar? She says, well, if you go out our parking lot, and then across the Hy-Vee, which is the grocery store, across their parking lot, there's a Tires Plus. There's a bar right there. Biss and I decide, well, not going to go to the bar in a snowstorm and drive.
That'd be dumb.
It's only two parking lots. Let's walk.
Guys are insane.
In the blizzard.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, wind at our back on the way there.
Yes.
She failed to mention the fact that you have to climb up a hill to get out of their parking lot into the Hy-Vee parking lot.
I'm hoping you changed out of dress shoes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Best all that he brought was tennis shoes, though.
Oh, no.
I at least had hiking boots with. We climb up this hill, which actually wasn't that big of a deal, but there was a bunch of snow there, and Biss, I'm sure your feet were a little cold.
A little, but not too bad.
After a couple beers, you just don't feel it.
Well, that's on the way back.
Yeah. We get across the Hy-Vee parking lot, which is as big as Walmart's parking lot.
Oh, no.
The thing was huge.
Yeah, it was a big parking lot.
And do you think we found a Tires Plus?
No, you find a Midas.
There was a Midas. No Tires Plus, no bar.
No Tires Plus anywhere. We never saw a Tires Plus on that journey.
So, I'm like, man, did she think this was a Tires Plus and it's really a Midas? And is there really something around here that we just can't see? Or they're closed and just have all the lights shut off? So we keep walking. Like any red-blooded American would do in a blizzard when you want a beer. And we keep walking.
We keep walking.
And all of a sudden, way off in the distance, hey, that's a Tires Plus.
Wait a minute.
Now we've gone about 8 blocks. Do you think we'd see a sign for a bar?
In Wisconsin, of all places?
No.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, we were out
I
by
thought
the
there's a bar were, every block in
we,
Madison.
We were out of town.
True.
By the interstate. So it's not like you're downtown where there is two bars on every block. So we keep walking to the Tires Plus. No bar signs. Nothing that looks like a bar. And all of a sudden, a car pulls into a parking lot. Biff says, well, they've got to be going to the bar, because who else would be out on a night like this? So we follow that car. Sure enough, there's a bar. We open up the door. There's a sign on the door that says $18 cover charge.
Oh, my goodness.
And we open up the door, and we can hear a samba band playing in the background.
You're like a wrong crowd.
Not really for Biss and I.
No.
Well, I'll speak for myself, not for me. Yeah. Biss, for you?
Well, I think my reaction was, one, I'm not paying a cover charge, and two, whenever they're searching you at the door, and it's a
for
small
and
bar, that can't be a good sign.
This bouncer would not have to. He would not be able to walk straight through a door. He'd have to turn sideways. This man was huge.
Yeah, big, big security guard searching everybody.
So you guys were looking for a
sports bar. It's usually a signal.
You don't want to be there.
I don't go to too many bars where I have to be patted down before I enter. So
Miss and I have already gone 8 blocks. What the heck? We might as well keep walking.
There's got to be another one.
10 blocks.
We get to 10 blocks, and there's still nothing. Off in the distance, there's a place with red neon lights. Can't see a bar sign or anything. Don't know what it is.
Remember, it's a blizzard outside
that we're not out in. Not like we're driving and going 10 blocks. Big deal. I said, Biss, I'm not going to take that gamble of walking those extra 2 blocks to have to turn around and come back when it's not a bar. Because you could see behind that place there was nothing.
Yeah.
There's a Walgreens right across the street. Best call of the weekend. Says, well, let's go ask Walgreens if that place is a bar. Now it's pushing midnight.
We've come this far, so we might as well
find out.
So, is there anywhere near here other than the one we were just in?
We cross the 4-lane divided highway that is filled with snow, because the plows haven't really been out. Through the median, which is even more snow, we walk into the Walgreens, walk up to the counter, and ask, is that place down there with the red neon lights a bar? Guy goes, yep. Or there's one right out our back door. You can't see it from the road, but it's right out our back door. We're like, great. See ya. Thanks. We're walking to the front door of the Walgreens.
Oh, this is funny.
There's an 8-year-old kid, stocking cap, winter coat, gloves, just standing by the front door.
Quarter to midnight on a Saturday night in a blizzard.
Saturday, says, yeah, the bar down there with the red lights, that's just kind of a normal bar. But the bar back here behind the Walgreens, well, that's kind of a biker bar.
You want me to come out and show you where to go? I can point you right to it. I will help you. This is an 8-year-old kid.
8-year-old kid at midnight on a Saturday only in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's like, what? Like, okay, no, I think we can find it now.
Absolutely. I'm just giggling.
Oh, boy.
Going, welcome home, Schulte.
Yeah.
So we walk to the back bar because it's much closer.
We'll take the chance.
We can see another 2 blocks behind the Walgreens is another bar. Looks like a regular old bar.
Hmm.
So now we're standing in the parking lot of the biker bar, which if you don't know Biss and me, we're not really the biker bar type.
But we didn't really know it was.
We don't have leather. We don't ride a hog. We don't.
And they did make reference at Walgreens that it was a biker bar.
Yes, they flat
so
out
we
said
did
biker
know
bar.
It was a biker bar. But then again, it's a blizzard.
Yeah.
There's certainly no motorcycles outside the bar.
No.
I said, Biss goes, maybe we should try the other one. I said, Biss, there's no motorcycles here. We got a Dodge Ram pickup. We got a Lincoln Continental and a 4-door sedan. The only 3 cars in the parking lot.
And they're decent cars.
So we walk in. If you have never been to a bar in Wisconsin, this was the typical Wisconsin bar.
A dive.
Dark. Got about 8 different kinds of beer on tap. A lot of them you would only ever buy when you're in college. You can get Pabst Blue Ribbon in a can.
A big can.
The tall can?
The tall cans.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
And there were,
Is there a single place?
Taken up on that by a few people.
Is there a single place that you have been to in the last 15, well, since college that sells Pabst Blue Ribbon in a can at a bar?
Yeah, I have.
You know, I wouldn't know because I'm not asking normally.
Good point.
Unless you see it on the counter.
I've seen it on a counter.
Good point.
It's on tap a couple places in town. I know that.
The bartender at this place, it is called Camp Lamarck, is 6'6", pushing 400 pounds. The guy is huge. There's 4 people sitting over to our right, bellied up to the bar. Big pool room in the back. There's nobody back there. To our left, there's a husband and wife.
Who all looked at us when we walked in, of course.
Because they didn't know who the hell we were.
Yeah, what are these people
They're
doing
all regulars.
Yeah.
So we sit down. Biss was happy they had Guinness.
Yes. On tap at a biker bar. I was stunned.
See, it's not that much of a biker bar if they have Guinness on tap.
I would have liked that place.
As the 6'6", 400-pound bartender is pouring Biss's beer, I look over behind him. I can barely see around the guy, but there's they don't have menus at this place. They just have a lighted menu board on the wall.
Oh, sure. Kind of like going to the Big Tap.
And
they got the menu right up on the wall.
It says on there, food, 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. to 1 a.m. I'm like, you really have food till 1? He goes, yep. I look and I see
big,
cheese curds.
Big score.
And I said, well, how are your cheese curds? Imagine the response from a 6'6", 400-pound guy. Wisconsin cheese, fried. What more do you need to know?
I wouldn't have argued with him. I'd be like, I'll take
I
an
said,
order.
Order them up. Biscuits, jalapeno poppers. Honest to God, within 2 minutes of the time that I ordered my cheese curds, they're sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
He hands me a six-pack holder, ketchup, mustard, napkins, salt, pepper, and then hands me a squeeze bottle of homemade ranch dressing.
Mmm.
You could barely pour the stuff out of there. It was so thick.
Yum.
It was really good ranch. I devour my cheese curds. The guy comes back with the jalapeno poppers because he couldn't find them right away. They only took like 2 minutes to get there, too, but 6'6", 400-pound bartender sets him down in front of Biss and says, sorry, I kind of forgot how to count. What were there, like a dozen of them
yeah,
in there?
Yeah, there was at least 10, that's for sure, and I think it's supposed to be six or something.
A ton of jalapeno poppers. About the time that the jalapeno poppers get in front of Biss, the door opens and six people walk in. Now, Biss, be honest. What was your original reaction? We're in a biker bar and six people come walking in at once in a blizzard.
Well, I didn't fear too much about that. Okay. I didn't give it much credence until the incident that you don't want to have as a non-biker in a biker bar.
Turns out one of the guys sitting to our right was the manager of the joint who was not working, and he had been there for a while. If you get my drift.
You can definitely
tell.
He's
had a few.
He had had more than a few.
He sees one guy in particular of the six that just walked into his bar, and he gets up and he walks very briskly behind the bar over to these guys. And my radar is on at this point. I'm like, this is going to be fun.
And he wasn't the silent type. So anything he said, you could hear.
Yeah.
5 miles outside of the building.
Tells the one guy that he was talking to in particular, come here. And they walk to the other end of the bar. Physical building bar, not bar. And they have a little discussion that, well, everybody there could hear.
Yeah.
That this guy was not welcome in the bar. Now, Biss, when you're hearing that, what were you thinking?
I'm thinking that I'm looking for the escape routes out of here. And wondering what the newspaper story might say about us. Being involved in any incident at this place, people would, again, what are they doing there? I'm thinking the worst-case scenario.
Yeah. The other five, after a little bit of pleading with the sixth man, finally decide it's time to leave the bar.
There certainly was some words exchanged.
There were, most of which could not be repeated on this program. The six finally leave. The manager goes back to his bar. His bar stool, he puffs on his chest. Yeah, I took care of them. He says a few more words to the rest of us of what's going to happen if they come back into the bar.
Insert explicit.
And leaves us, certainly myself, I don't know about you, wondering, what if they come back into the bar? I'm not so worried about the bartender. I'm worried about the people that might come back.
I was all right.
I figured, well, everybody.
I'll hide behind the 6'6", 400-pound guy.
Yeah, dive behind the bar.
All of a sudden, the woman to our left looks out the window and turns to the manager and says, they're still out there. I have never seen a half-drunk guy move that fast across the bar. Because he was going out the front door after him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just as he gets to the front door, they put the truck in reverse and they go. Come to find out, I'm assuming that this guy isn't going to be listening to this program, so we'll tell why the manager was so upset. This guy had been passing bad checks to every bar in Madison.
Oh, wow.
This guy knew it and didn't want him in his bar. He said, get out of here.
Unreal. Unreal.
In the meantime, I'm thinking, well, how are, I can just see the newspaper story.
And Bemidji radio announcers caught in crossfire.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't tell me this story right away. Biss, did you share this story with your wife?
I told her that we went to a biker bar, but I don't know if she heard all the stories.
Oh, no. Now she knows.
Don't worry, Christy. The archive will be on the website by about 9:30 tonight.
Now, in their defense, after that...
It was a great little bar.
It was. They were extremely kind to us.
Yes, they were.
They bought a shot. That they scared the
They wondered where we came from, and they knew that BSU was playing Wisconsin once we told them where the Bemidji radio guys.
The drunk manager did. The 6'6", 400-pound bartender had no idea what a Bemidji was or why it said it on my sweatshirt.
A Bemidji.
But then we got the whole nine yards about the story of the bar, the history of the bar.
That's cool.
I was still hungry.
Oh, that's right.
So I was looking for something else to eat. I'm like, man, those cheese curds were like $3. I could order more of those. Those were good. They got onion rings. I bet you those are pretty good. Then I see down below they've got Emil's Pizza. It must be a Wisconsin thing because I've never seen Emil's Pizza anywhere else.
Hmm.
It's frozen bar pizza.
Okay.
Greasiest pizza you could ever imagine.
Yum.
I'll vouch for that.
So we...
Did you have heartburn after that one?
It was okay. I love pizza. So it doesn't matter what kind. Yeah. I'll eat it.
We ordered a pepperoni pizza. We're having a conversation about the history of the bar, and all of a sudden I can smell something burning.
Oh, no.
And I'm kind of sniffing in the... I should just call him He-Man and make it easier than 6'6", 400-pound
Nicest bartender. Guy, though.
Oh, he was a cool guy.
He was the bar, probably the least intimidating of the people in the bar.
He-Man quickly scurries over to the pizza oven. Comes back a minute later with no pizza. I'm like, man, he burned it. He just threw in another one. He's not going to tell us. And I'm kind of looking like, what's up?
Yeah, the cheese curds got in front of your face
goes,
2 minutes. But
I hope you guys like cheese. I'm like, what? It was all the pizza oven. It was kind of sitting at an angle, and the cheese kind of slid off when it was warming up and fell down to the bottom of the pizza oven. So I had to put a little extra cheese on there. Now, mind you, a little to this guy is like 3 pounds of cheese. That was the cheesiest frozen pizza I think I've ever eaten.
Yeah, it was good.
So he comes back a few minutes later with our pizza and sets that down, and we devoured it. Turns out this bar has been around since the 1940s.
Huh.
On its third owner. Yes, it is.
See, can you tell we learned everything about the bar?
It is indeed a biker bar. They have a rally every fall. Not the wisest thing in the world, but it is Wisconsin. 400 or 500 bikes leave this place on a couple hundred mile tour looking at fall colors and bar hopping.
That's cool.
Who's driving the motorcycles?
If they're bar hopping, I wouldn't want to be part of that.
Turns out they had hired a guy this year to go up in a helicopter and take pictures.
Oh, cool.
Now there's power lines and trees and houses and other buildings all over, and this guy is like dive bombing the bar taking pictures. And they had a painting drawn from one of these pictures.
Oh, neat.
Christmas gift that they were going to give to the owner.
3 feet wide and 1.5 feet high, something like that. I mean, it was good sized.
Panoramic.
And they were going to present this to the owner of the bar. Now, Biss and I look at this painting, and we can't make out if the person's white, black, green, red, man, woman.
Child.
Have no idea. Here's this lady at the end of the bar who told the manager that the hoodlums were still sitting out in the parking lot. She goes, well, that's Jimmy. I can tell. Only regulars go to this place.
Yeah.
If you can picture Jimmy in that painting, you've been to this bar way too many times.
Well, and they brought it up because all the regulars that were there, they wanted to show this. Don't tell anybody that this is the gift that we got for the owner. And it was a nice, it was a great gift idea.
That is cool.
And it looked packed.
Yes. I don't know how they got that many bikes in that parking lot. It wasn't that big.
Now, that would have been an interesting day to go to for you and I.
Oh, I would have done it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, if you can just get over your stereotypical images that you might have, it actually was, obviously a very fun experience for us. Not one that we anticipated, expected. Had we been able to, a normal day without snow, not been walking.
We would have left.
We wouldn't have probably gone there.
No.
wouldn't have been, you know, it just wouldn't have been on our radar, but it ended up to be.
It makes for a great.
The Lamarck. Mark it down. Madison, Wisconsin, off Washington Avenue.
If you're a biker, you got to head there.
It was a cool place.
It was a neat experience.
Then Bess and I have to walk through the blizzard with the wind blowing at us.
But after a couple of beers,
didn't feel a thing.
Yeah.
Didn't feel a thing.
Oh, and by the way, there were a couple hockey games in Madison while we were there, too.
Well, let's not talk about them.
Yeah, that was rough.
So, the return trip home, then. Madison newspaper flat out said, don't drive anywhere. Which Biss was more than happy to tell me what this newspaper said on numerous occasions Sunday morning. I called the hockey team. Where are you? They were already in Toma. Well, they were 3 hours down the road already. I said, how are the roads? They said, good. I said, thanks. See you, Biss. We're leaving. Let's go.
Good if you're not driving and in a bus. Well, sorry.
In case you haven't figured it out, Biss doesn't like driving in the snow.
He doesn't like flying either.
We get on Interstate 94, three-lane road, of which two are, well, one is decent, one is okay, and the other one don't go near. Semis are zipping past us. We're 10 miles down the road. You get to the off-ramp to Interstate 39, which runs north of Wausau. There's an SUV that does three 360s down
right
the off-ramp.
Yeah. That didn't make me feel much better. We just started our trip.
At this point, Biss says, I think we need to go to your sister's. I kept driving. Sorry if I made you nervous, Biss.
No,
I kept
you did driving. A great job driving. It wasn't you I was afraid of.
It's the semis.
Well, it's your typical, and everybody can relate to this, it's your typical people who go way too slow.
Yeah.
And the people that go way too fast that cause all the problems. It's that combination.
Biss, you sound like my grandfather.
Oh, well, you experienced it. There was. I mean, there were some people who were going 20 miles an hour.
There's no reason
to be going 20 miles an hour.
I moved around them. I was fine with that.
Yes, you did.
But, and I waited for the people that were doing 70.
Yep, you did. You did a great job driving.
It's not often that you see semis in the ditch because of snow.
Oh, I've never seen that many.
Typically, you'll see
a handful.
One semi and like 10 cars on a trip like that. We had 10 semis in the ditch.
At least.
I counted. There were flipped over.
There was a
three
couple
of them
flipped over.
Yeah. So, Biss, I'll give you that. It was, if you don't like that kind of situation in the first place, seeing those semis, I'm sure it didn't help matters for you.
Well, you know, the thing that was, to me, the most amazing was that they called the Toma to Hudson.
Impassable. That was the best part of the road.
Sunday morning. And by the time we got to Toma, that was the worst of it was over. And, very ironically, St. Cloud to Bemidji was the best part of the trip.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
was nothing to worry about. It was perfectly fine. Of course, we didn't get nothing in this area. Apparently,
no.
I wasn't here. But that was smooth sailing, just like when we left on Friday. Everything else between there changed.
That's what I had texted Schultze when I got a chance. I'm like, okay, I pulled over for gas in St. Cloud. And I'm like, roads are great here. There's nothing on the ground. It's not even icy. So,
well,
we made it back.
What took us, we left at 7 Friday morning, stopped in Eau Claire to eat for about a half an hour. We got to the hotel about 3:30.
Yeah.
So that's
7.5, 8 hours.
Seven and a half, well. With lunch, maybe seven. 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
We left at 11:30, stopped for lunch in Toma, stopped for gas in the cities. Dropped you off at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it took us
about an hour
an
longer.
Extra hour. But we were doing 60 the whole way, even in Madison when you were putting your foot on the dashboard.
Yeah, and grabbing on. He finally said, you know, it isn't going to help you if you do that.
The only thing that's going to do is break your hip.
Yeah, and holding on isn't going to do you any good. Mentally it helped me, but my wife can tell you many stories about that. I'm a horrible backseat, and it's my dad's fault. I blame him because he's a lot worse than I am, which is hard to believe. I know.
Well, trust me, Biss. If there's ever a snowstorm again, we're driving separately. And if your dad is worse, no way I'm going with him.
Yeah. I wasn't that bad.
okay.
He gets home, he goes, oh, my goodness, I can't drive with him like that ever again.
Kel will attest to this. I am terrible driving when somebody is backseat or side seat driving.
Mm. I'm notorious.
Drives me batty.
And I only said it a couple of times. Like, watch out for that guy or...
A couple of dozen.
No.
That and the gasps and the reaching for the...
Handle. Best don't feel bad. I do the same thing, but not quite. Well, I usually gasp. I do the, and then Brian's like, stop it. And I'm like, every little move, yeah. Fishtail, the well, car does.
And you also failed to mention barbecue in Wisconsin. On the
that
way
was
there,
terrible.
Not so much. I wouldn't recommend trying it.
Mike's Smokehouse in Eau Claire, not so good.
No.
It was so promising, too. The parking lot was packed. Usually, if the parking lot's packed,
that's a good sign.
No.
Probably
at least what I ordered.
Their brisket tasted like roast beef.
It did. It was like a beef roast.
Mm. Ew.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We will take a break. How in the heck did that conversation just last 41 minutes?
Without a break.
Without a break.
A biker bar in Wisconsin. That can do it to you, man.
It can. Sports in the Round from the Ground Round at Wings and Beer Wednesday. Kel and I both ordered the chicken sticks and rings appetizer.
Oh, it's good.
Man, they're good.
You gotta try this sauce.
I didn't get enough heart attack on a plate.
Yeah.
With my brat sandwich and my cheese curds and everything this weekend.
Well, I got the chili, too. And the
this has
really
jalapeno
good.
Or has potato skins with jalapenos on it. We will take a break again. Our guests in hour number two, we're talking BSU a year in review. That's all on the way next. Sports in the Round for the Ground Round right here on the Beaver Radio Network.